Hey, welcome back. This is the Speak Your Peace podcast. My name is Ian McNaughton, Big E here. Thank you very much for listening. Sorry about no show last week. It was a busy week, that league meetings, and just I didn't make the time to do it. Was busy with stuff. So this week will probably be a mid to long-ish episode. Depending how I go, I might split it up and post another bit later on this week. We'll see how we do here and how this episode goes. For context, recording Monday, January 29th in the evening, day after the AFC and NFC Championship games. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens. The San Francisco 49ers came back, defeated the Detroit Lions. And spoiler alert, I'm gonna jump right into it. This first bit is on Taylor Swift. So if you're not interested, if you don't care, if you'd rather not listen, skip forward. You can do that. Totally understandable. Go ahead, skip ahead. However, I wanted to lead with the Taylor Swift conversation because I find it to be a real intriguing one and one worth having. Now, for the record, I don't think that the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce story is the story going on right now in the NFL. I think what Patrick Mahomes is doing is more impressive, is more noteworthy. Even the Andy Reid legacy, heading into this next Super Bowl, it is more noteworthy. Even the San Francisco 49ers, the season that they're having, the run that they've been on the last 5 years or so, all of those things I believe to be more intriguing and more noteworthy and attention grabbing than Taylor Swift with Travis Kelce. However, it's still a story that people should be talking about and that is worth mentioning. For those who don't know, if you've been living under a rock, Taylor Swift, pretty notable singer, is dating Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. Taylor Swift is going to be, I believe the Super Bowl will be her 13th game she's attended this year, which it's a hot topic. Her going to these games, the media attention she's getting, all the TV time she's getting, which she's not really getting that much TV time. In fact, they were she's saying over the last two, not the Sunday game against Baltimore, but the two games before that, she averages about 36 seconds of TV time, which is about 0.4% in an NFL broadcast. So she's obviously a significant figure and a notable individual, and she's going to get TV time. She is gonna get her fill of airtime. That's just how it is. However, I will say things are better in terms of managing it. For example, when the Chiefs went to the Jets in October, that game was on Sunday Night Football. Reportedly NBC cut to her 17 times during the game. Well, when they played the Bills in, the divisional round, she was cut to six times. Part of that is broadcasters and networks and producers have gotten a better understanding on how to manage this and how to, include this in their storytelling. Back when this was first a thing against the Bears in like September, October, I think there was a lot of people, upset with all the airtime she was getting, all the TV attention she was getting, because there had never really been a situation like that before, where there was rumors floating around. We didn't really know. We're assuming, the two of them are together. And Taylor Swift is at this football game. She's a, a major celebrity. You're not going to put the camera on her. But as things have evolved and things have changed, we now have a better understanding of how to manage, you know, how much time she gets on screen. And I think that is important. I think that's that deserves a kudos to the directors and, you know, the people producing these games on how to better incorporate her into the broadcast and into the storytelling of the game. Now, with that being said, I understand there's still a lot of people who don't want her on the screen at all, who don't want any attention to be shown on her. And I just don't quite get why. I don't know if it's because you just don't like seeing, you know, something that's not involved with the game whatsoever, you know, like her hanging out with the Kelsey family. But the same, I mean, more or less the same people who are saying that are the same people who are, you know, happy with Jason Kelsey going shirtless in the Kelsey suite at the, you know, Bills Chiefs game. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm going to pull up the stats here to just further my point. According to Front Office Sports, Taylor Swift has generated an equivalent brand value of over $330 million for the Chiefs and the NFL. Apex Marketing Group tells Front Office Sports. The figure includes print, digital, radio, TV highlights, and social media going back to Swift's first game in September. Over $300 million in equivalent market value. You just don't get that overnight. That doesn't, you don't, you know, that doesn't just happen. So, while I understand that people don't want her on the broadcast, she's actually doing the NFL and your team a favor. She's actually making the sport better. She's helping grow the sport of football. For example, in the Bills-Chiefs divisional round game, there was approximately 20 million women who watched the game, or 40% of the viewership. First of all, NFL broadcasts are just insane in terms of the viewership they pull, because you're very rarely getting that sort of viewership in anything unless it's, you know, a FIFA event, college football, maybe the World Series, maybe the NBA Finals. The viewership numbers that the NFL gets just on its own, just as a product itself, is insane. It's not like any other sport. But when you're, you know, getting, you know, a demo of 40% women to watch the NFL, that's huge. That's insane. That opens up so many more avenues and opportunities for growth and, you know, points of interest that wouldn't otherwise be there. The example I'm going to use is when Taylor Swift showed up to one of the games. I can't remember if it was the Bills game or what one of the games was when she showed up in her big, long red puffer jacket with 87 on it. And that was designed by San Francisco 49ers fullback, Kyle Juszczyk's wife, Kristen Juszczyk, excuse me. So Kristen Juszczyk, the wife of 49ers fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. That drew all sorts of attention to Juszczyk on Instagram. You know, her sales exploded. You know, that's an opportunity that otherwise wouldn't be there because Taylor Swift showed up to a game and people were interested in what she was wearing and who made the jacket, where did she get it from. That's huge. That's, you know, that's growth, not just for that one person, for that one, you know, brand that you know, Kristen Juszczyk has, but it's also growth for the NFL to understand that, you know, women don't just want something pink and sparkly to wear for merchandise. You know, there's an opportunity to sell women's hoodies, women's clothes, shirts, jackets, you name it, that isn't just the traditional pink, sparkly, whatever that historically women have had to buy from NHL or NFL major league sports merchandisers. So while everybody, well, people like to be critical, and while people don't want to see her on the screen, and I'm sorry that, your relationship isn't going so well, so you don't want to see somebody else, be lo a thriving couple, do well. Sorry that things, maybe aren't going so well for you. You don't want to see somebody else succeed. But Taylor Swift has actually been a positive for the NFL. She's actually been a positive for the Chiefs. She's been a positive for football. And I again, this is a relationship that's basically what this is based off of, is a relationship. Who knows what what the longevity of this is, and if you can what you can plan or build around for this. I don't know how much you can. People are gonna be watching, obviously people watch the Super Bowl. People are gonna have more intrigue on the Super Bowl than before. And frankly, selfishly, personally, I need the Chiefs to win. I need, all the Swifties to get loud and root on the Chiefs so that the Niners can't win. Because I'm selfish and I can't, I can't see San Francisco win. That would hurt me deeply, greatly. So I get the where people maybe aren't a fan of it, maybe don't like all this one person getting all this attention, but it's a story. It's exciting. It's intriguing. It's interesting. You're just not gonna have, the networks and the broadcasters just not show her, not talk about it, because it's you're just not. You wouldn't be doing your job as a journalist or a broadcaster or somebody in entertainment. You wouldn't be doing your job if you didn't discuss it, if you didn't talk about her, and you didn't talk about their relationship. So while I get that people, again, are maybe not, some people may not be big on it. Maybe some people are. I don't know. I don't know if anybody really loves this. I think people just like that it's, a thing. It's a story. It's something that it is a story outside of football that involves the NFL. That's a positive one. You see a lot about, the NFL community impacts, and those are real feel good stories. This is also a feel good story. Maybe not in that regard, but it's still a feel good story. Maybe unless you're a Ravens fan or, not a Chiefs fan, but this is a feel good story that I think people can get behind, that people can root for. And I just don't see it going away. I just don't see it, stopping. I mean, outside of obviously this is the last game of the season coming up in February. Who knows what the season's going to look like in September, but I don't know what's stopping somebody else or something else like this from happening. I just don't. We shall see. And I hope the Chiefs and Travis Kelce, Mahomes and Taylor Swift thrive and they win. I hope they, beat the hell out of the Niners selfishly. But I also am just rooting for people to be happy, to enjoy one another's company, because I think that's really cool. And I think that's really fun. And, rooting against them is just kind of cynical and unnecessary. You're rooting against people. I mean, they're not bad people. Granted, it depends on how you feel, I guess, about, Taylor Swift and her carbon footprint. Regardless, they're not bad people. They're, a couple that seems to really love each other, that seems to really enjoy each other's company, and I think that's really cool and really exciting and really fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But what would be wrong is if the Niners won the Super Bowl. That would be the bigger crime than all the attention Taylor Swift is getting. I think that's fair to say. That's easy to say. All right. We're gonna take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with another topic of interest. All right. For those who skipped the Taylor Swift story, I'm sorry to hear that, Taylor Swift likes her boyfriend more than you're loved by your girlfriend. I'll say that. We're going to talk hockey for a little bit. We're going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers, who, as of this recording, have now won, I believe it's 16 straight games. Stuart Skinner's on a heater. Yeah, 16 straight games. With the victory over the Preds on Saturday, they are within one win of tying the NHL record. They beat the Preds 4-1 on Saturday. The NHL record of 17 wins set by the 92-93 Pittsburgh Penguins. They will be off for 9 days when they play Vegas again on February 2nd, or February 6th, excuse me, after All-Star weekend. My hot take with the Edmonton Oilers is that this win streak does not matter. This win streak helps them put them where they should have been all along. They had a slow start. They fired their head coach. They finally, got one of their goalies hot. And while winning 16 games is cool, while, they're back to being relevant, they're back to being in a playoff position, doesn't really matter. None of this really matters. This is what I am going to call, the Oilers are the Moneyball team in the NHL. The Maple Leafs are kind of this too, but not for the sake of how they spend or how they roster build. In fact, quite opposite. I think the Edmonton Oilers are one of the worst examples of how to build a roster in the league right now. In fact, you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who have probably the best chance of any active, well, they're both Hall of Famers. I don't know about Draisaitl, but definitely McDavid for sure. They're generational talents. They're exceptional players, both McDavid and Draisaitl. They both play for the Oilers. They are taking up this season, okay? McDavid and Draisaitl are taking up just 25% of the Oilers' cap space. 25% for two of maybe the five best players in this entire league, okay? I know McDavid has been injured. He hasn't been 100% this year. The fact that the Oilers are allowed to have two of the five best players in the league this year at a combined 25% of the salary cap is absurd. And the fact that this team is, third, now third in the Pacific Division, it's frustrating as shit because this team should be much better. It shouldn't take a 16-game winning streak over Christmas at the end of January to get them into third in the Pacific, where they are 5 points behind Vegas and they are still 12 points behind the Canucks. And I say all of this that the winning streak doesn't matter. The cap space does matter because the teams would obviously love to have that one, those two guys at 25% combined cap and the financial flexibility to do whatever the rest that you want to do. But for the Oilers, none of this really matters unless they win a championship, unless they win a Stanley Cup. They can, go to the conference finals again. They could go to the finals. Maybe that would mean something. But this team has flopped. I talked about the Leafs not that long ago either. This team has flopped so many times in the playoffs with McDavid and Draisaitl that they can't really afford to have another flop. Because after this year, you're going to have one more year of Draisaitl. You're going to have 2 more years of McDavid. And what's to stop the two of them from looking elsewhere or thinking elsewhere, about where they want to go and where they want to play? You have Draisaitl at 8.5 with a modified no trade clause next year. You don't think the Oilers are at least if they flop again and like if they lose in the first round to Vegas or maybe even worse the second round of Vancouver, you don't think the Oilers are looking at moving on Leon Draisaitl at 8.5? Seeing what's out there, seeing what the market is, I don't know, man. I think it's really intriguing. It's the same with McDavid. They got him at 2 more years at 12.5 million. He's only 27 years old. Draisaitl's only 28. Those are some really, really good contracts. But when you have like this is what frustrates me with this Oilers team, okay? When you have Darnell Nurse making 9.25, the Campbell contract hasn't worked, didn't work. He's stuck in the minors making 3.85 million, 5 million, getting paid 5 million. It's only counting 3.8 against the cap because they waived him. Zach Hyman's obviously having a really good season. The Nuge hasn't been very good this year, but he was good in the past. They have depth piece. I'm interested with Corey Perry to see how that goes. I don't think it's going to work. The Evander Kane thing, it's been eh. Warren Fogle's a free agent after this year. Matthias Janmark's a free agent after this year. Connor Brown, Sam Gagner. They just need to win. They need a championship. They need a Stanley Cup. That's what this team needs. And I don't have faith under, the current GM, Ken Holland. I don't have the faith that they're going to do it. Ken Holland ran as much praise as Ken Holland should get for building a contender in Detroit, he deserves just as much, criticism for building a terrible Red Wings team, and they ran into the ground by the end of it when he left before Yzerman had to come and take over it. So I don't believe that Yzerman, or excuse me, that Holland is the guy to solve it, to build the cup contender in Edmonton. I think their roster building has been completely flawed. I wouldn't give that much money to Darnell Nurse. I wouldn't be paying Cody Ceci over $3 million. I wouldn't be paying Evander Kane that much money. It's just that's why, as cool as a 16-game win streak is, as good as the vibes may feel right now in Edmonton, it doesn't really matter unless they win. It just doesn't. Because that's what the end goal is all about. You can do really well in the regular season. It doesn't matter unless you have that Stanley Cup. That's all that matters. That's all that the GMs care about. That's all that the players care about. It's all that the fans really care about. So, it's great that the Oilers are it seems like they're finally clicking. They're finally starting to piece things together. All I'm just saying is that it's not even February yet. We haven't hit February, and we're acting like the Oilers are now the best team in the NHL. They're back. They're good as new again. No, I don't trust this team. I don't trust them in a 7-game playoff series with Vegas. I probably wouldn't trust them in a 7-game series with Vancouver. I don't think this team is legit. I don't. I think it helps that while, you go on a massive heater, the LA Kings have fallen off, the Seattle Kraken have fallen off. I don't have faith that this team is going to win a Stanley Cup, and that's all that matters, is winning the Stanley Cup to prove everybody wrong, to actually prove that you're back, to actually prove that you're legit. That's how you prove that you're a winner, is by winning the Stanley Cup. It's not winning the 16 games in the regular season, straight. It's winning the Stanley Cup. It's the actual grind of beating the best teams. Beating Nashville on a Saturday at home, cool, great. go beat Vegas four times in seven games. That's what you need to do. Go beat the Colorado Avalanche. That's what the expectation. Go beat the Vancouver Canucks four times out of seven. That's where your expectations are. That's what's to be expected. That's what you need to go do to really be considered back, to be a winner, to be, not just a fake. So that's my take on the Edmonton Oilers. Those are my feelings on them. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me know. I just don't trust them. And I don't think any of this really matters until you win a Stanley Cup. Until your name is etched on that cup, who cares? Great. At least you're not the Flames. Could be Calgary. That wouldn't be great. But go win the cup. Go prove me wrong. Go win the cup and then make me look like an idiot. So, yeah, there we go. We're going to take another break and then we'll be back and then probably just wrap up the show. But yeah, stick around. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're back to wrap up the show. Thank you very much for listening. Appreciate it. We'll see. I'm hoping to have some stuff out later on this week. Busy week for me. I got a couple games, but no, appreciate all the support. Thank you very much for listening. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to us. Follow me at Ian McNaughty on Instagram. You can follow us at SYP Pod on Instagram. Be sure to tell your friends. Any support is appreciated. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. We'll talk again probably later on this week. So peace out.